This call is being recorded.
Okay. Well, hello everyone, and I'd like to welcome you to the Alliance Creative Group's stock symbol ACGX annual earnings conference call for 2015. It's being held today on March 30th, 2016, and the call will be recorded so that we can post it on the website and allow you to listen to it again and share it with others. My name is Paul Sorkin, and I am the company's Chief Operating Officer and the General Counsel. Before I get started, I'd just like to take care of some of the legal requirements and read part of a future-looking statement, and the full statement is in our disclosures, that some of the information on this call may contain some forward-looking statements as defined by the Private Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1995. Forward-looking statements include statements or words concerning our business plans, objectives, goals, strategies, future events, or performances, underlying assumptions, and other statements that are other than statements of historical fact and may include words like may, believe, estimate, anticipate, expect, and other similar words. That these statements are subject to uncertainty and risk, and for the full list of risks and for the full disclosures, they're all posted online. Now, with that said and out of the way, first I'd like to say I want everyone to remember that all investments come with risks and rewards, and that I want everyone to do their own due diligence and to make their own decisions, make their own opinions. We're here today to help you get a better understanding of the company so that you can learn more about us and that you can make your own decisions. So with that said, I want to continue with some general company background information. For those that have heard the past earning calls, I'm going to try to keep this one shorter. I'm not going to go into as much detail about my personal history or our management personal history or the company's overall history. You can read a lot of that online. We have an expanded disclosure that was just uploaded that's 85 pages this year. That includes a lot about who we are, what we do, our services, and our entire history for all 18 years. So please encourage everyone to read and learn more about that. But we're going to try to stick a lot to the current business, the future business, and answering other shareholder questions that everyone emailed in. So during the last few years, we have evolved into a full-service marketing agency with core competency in the product development, digital experiential marketing, and custom software development. And so the reason we did that and have done that is we understand that the world is changing. And the ways that companies create and market their products keep changing. And so even though we started as a packaging company and added printing services and added some supply chain management and vendor managed services over the years, we had to become a full service marketing agency to really help our clients during the entire product and customer life cycle, because everything ties together with the packaging and the assembling and the shipping and warehousing too. How do you drive traffic to those shelves? How do you engage with your customers? And how do you build a meaningful, long-lasting relationship? And so as that full-service agency, we can help our clients create and design their products, manage and distribute them, and help them really build that brand loyalty. Now, with that said, that means that we now can do more things for more customers. And so we can create the websites and the blogs and the social media pages and manage the Google and Facebook ads and create the and power the campaigns and contests and newsletters and surveys and rewards programs and e-tickets and e-stores and digital marketing cards and all those great things. And the reason why it's relevant is that any great company, in my opinion, has to evolve with the times. And all those things are becoming crucial for brands to be able to compete and to grow. And so we try to become a very important provider of those services for our customers. And we help them in two very different areas and very different life cycles, the product life cycle and the customer life cycle. A product is created when a brand is created to where it may be the logo and the design or the look and feel and deciding what type of packaging they're going to use. If it's going to go into a box, a bag, a blister pack, a clamshell, how is it going to be assembled? How is it going to be displayed? How is it going to be distributed? How is it going to get on the shelf? And then how is it going to be replenished and warehoused in a vendor-managed inventory situation? Those are all things that we try to help during that entire product life cycle. And then once it is on the shelf, the customer life cycle begins, whether it's consumer or a customer. We help them connect the offline world and the online world. How do you drive traffic to that show? How do you engage with them? Are they finding you on social media, a website, or a blog? Are they joining your newsletter or text messaging list? Do they enter a contest to loyalty rewards? Are they an advocate of your brand? Are they taking pictures, using hashtags, sharing their experiences about your brand with other people? Because we all know that when we walk down the street or look at our phones or go on our Facebook pages, we know we're bombarded with these retargeted and remessaging and these
Sure.
specific things that we see from. Oops, sorry, someone just unmute. Make sure everyone's muted so we don't have the background noise. But what we find is that we are making more of our decisions based on what other people say and what advocates of the brand say rather than the brand itself. So it's very important for us to evolve and to build a team that can handle that and to actually change the overall business model so that we can be of more value for our customers, our investors, and future potential targets of acquisition. So with that said, I'm going to go into the 2015 financials, and then from there I'll go into some other details, and then from there I'll go into a bunch of questions and clarifications and updates about projects. So for the 2015, we'll start with the fourth quarter numbers, then we'll talk about the annual numbers. For the fourth quarter of 2015, let me pull up the revenue here, sorry. So the total revenue number was $2,586,796. The gross profit of $521,653. The net income was a loss of $90,000 because of the investment in the PeopleVine. Our total assets are up to over 5.8 million, and the outstanding common shares are at 888 million with 787 million in the float. And we ended the year with 146,000 in the bank. Now, keep in mind, I'll give you the full 2015 numbers as well. All these numbers will be online as well. The 2015 revenue ended up at $11,530,239. The gross profit was $2,576,033. The net income was a loss of $126,000 prior to the PeopleVine agency expenses. If we take those out, the net income was actually over $300,000. If you take out those investment one-time expenses into the growth and investment of PeopleVine and the agency. Other key financial notes to understand include our accounts receivable ended the year about $1.5 million. Our inventory was almost $1.7 million, actually $1.673, and our other note receivables investments were about $900,000. On the liability side, we had a little over $1.1 million in accounts payable. We have $898,000 being used on the bank line of credit out of a $1 million line of credit at the end of the year. And we had about 100, we had $865,000 of long-term notes. So now, although the overall sales revenue didn't grow as much as we were hoping, it actually went down a little bit from last year. What did happen that was very positive is our customer base grew and that we continued to build and expand a more marketable foundation and business model, which allows us to have more customers with more services that might be smaller revenue per customer, but has more lifetime value and more future value. And that's part of the evolution of changing the business model. We still did over $11 million in revenue. We had a gross profit of $2.5 million. We had a net income of over $300,000 after taking out the one-time expenses. And we still have over $5 million of assets. We also try to control the conversions and the issuance of shares. In 2013, we had issued 370 million shares. In 2014, we issued 240 million. In 2015, we reduced that to 160 million. And our goal is to keep that number of shares as low as possible while reducing our debt. And it's an ongoing balance that we'll talk in about a little more detail a little further on in this call. I'll go into more details. You know, I hope that gives you a better understanding of the overall company and the financials and some of the details. But now, some of the specifics that I think are really important for people to understand and know. I'm going to answer some of the shareholder questions that were emailed into me. I'm going to give you some updates on the current projects, share more about our future plans and visions. I want to make sure that when people get off this call, they really understand who we are after 18 years, what we're evolving to become, what our future plans are. So you can make better decisions on what you feel you should or shouldn't do with your investment choices. So we did have a number of people email us in, which I greatly appreciate it. And you can continue emailing questions at any time. If you email it to info@acgemail.com or paul@acgemail.com, we'll continue to try to address those questions in either future disclosures, future reports, email, social media posts, or other statements that can be made. Now, a few people, I'm going to just kind of no particular order here. I'm going to try to answer as many different things. I know a lot of people did email thinking that most companies don't like to answer things that aren't positive. Our company philosophy is that whether it's positive or negative, you need to know to be able to make a decision. And so we try to be as transparent and open about what's going on and the positive and negatives, and let people make their own choice of where they feel we're heading and what the success rate or the potential success options may be. So a few people did ask a lot about this, the evolution of the company and the new business model. You kind of better explain everyone what is going on and how does PeopleVine fit in and what is the company focusing on, all that stuff. So although I mentioned some of this in the beginning, I am going to kind of reiterate this. So we are now a full service marketing agency. And we're doing this because we believe we're positioning ourselves to help solve one of the most important modern day problems of being able to leverage the online and offline marketing tools to build a brand and keep up with the technology that's being used, to learn more about customers and to build better relationships and to better target more specifically and retarget and re-engage. And so what's happening is there are millions of companies right now out there in need of these services, and there are thousands of competitors fighting for it, but this is kind of the hot new landscape. And we don't need to be the biggest and the best to provide a great return on investment. There are some billion-dollar players out there. HubSpot is a billion-dollar player, and Marketo is a billion-dollar player, and some of these multi-billion-dollar tech companies are buying up some platforms like us for hundreds of millions of dollars to get into this world. Our job is to become more attractive to someone to take us over in the future, to find more reoccurring, repeating revenue, to have a wider base of customers that are offering more services, that offer more value to the customer, to our investors and shareholders, and a future potential takeover. And so we just want to keep being competitive, bringing on more clients, and kind of rise with the wave of the entire industry. We feel we're in the right place at the right time, and we want to try to ride this wave. And we also feel our biggest advantage and differentiator is the fact that our diversified team and our diversified capabilities is different than most platforms out there. Most agencies or technology platforms are very, very focused on one thing. And they might be like Constant Contact might be very good at emails, or SurveyMonkey might be good at surveys, or Eventbrite might be good at event stuff. But what we feel where our skill set really helps is the integration of everything, that we can help that product development and the supply chain and the content creation, and we can better understand the overall tie-in to everything so that we're building an integrated platform for everyone. So instead of having to use Constant Contact and SurveyMonkey and Eventbrite and Salesforce for your CRM, we could do all of that in PeopleVine, and you could use our agency to help create your products or your services and your brands, your websites, and to start your marketing campaigns from our integrated platform. So we believe that the fact that we have people on our team that are experts on branding and experts on packaging and printing and supply chain management, along with digital marketing, Google, Facebook ads, and actual programmers and developers, it allows us to help in any or all areas of the entire product development and customer life cycle. And it allows us to get them into our ecosystem at any point that we can expand. So it's not an easy thing to build, and it has been a difficult, slow path, but we've made tremendous progress. We've brought on a lot of great quality people, added a lot of great features, and we're now really trying to execute this new business model or an evolved business model to really fit with the times. With that said, many people also asked, well, are you still pursuing the packaging patent in the cannabis industry? Because I know some people got involved in the stock and were very interested because of that and that potential, and that was a potential wave to ride. Although we still have the relationships in place, we don't feel at this time that that venture is really worth the time, effort, cost, and risk that's associated with it. So we haven't completely given up on it, but we're not really actively pursuing it. We don't see the upside as much as we did now that we see what's happening with the overall landscape. So we're not really pursuing that as aggressively right now. Other people have said, what is the company doing to help increase the share price? Obviously, we want the share price to go up as much or more than you, and we want the liquidity to increase just as much as well. We are not your typical OTC stock company. We don't hire a ton of people to pump up the stock. We want it to go up, but we also want it to stay up, and we want it to be long-term growth, and we want it to be an attractive target for a larger company to be able to acquire us. So, we are focusing a lot more on growing the business, sharing that information about the new projects and our clients and our technology, educating the market on who we are and, what we do. And we're hoping and feel that in the future, we'll continue to get more people to know who we are. And, unfortunately, for the short-term investors, there may be waves that people can ride, but, we're not going to be spending a lot of money to just get that short-term pump. We want to make sure that the stock kind of rises because there's a justified reason and that it sustains and grows in the future. And there's also always a number of questions emailed to me about the current debt and the dilution questions. So, yes, we have issued more shares this year. Like we said, we were going to in a reasonable way. We did issue less this year than the last 2 years. And like, we said, we're going to keep trying to find this balance between a lot of OTC companies do just a massive number of shares and they just do a lot of dilution quickly. We've really been trying to find this balance between reducing the debt and controlling the dilution and keep our obligation to all parties. We have an obligation to honor our debt. We also have an obligation to our shareholders and we also want to grow our company. So we're trying to utilize our resources the best we can to spend on growth and to control the dilution and to, slowly reduce the debt. So we're going to try to continue to do that, the best we can. As far as, and a lot of people have asked about the current stock information and the increase of authorized and if we reverse the stock and things of that nature. As of today, the authorized is at $999 million. The issued and outstanding is $888 million. There's give or take is actually 888-098-334. And you can see on the OTC market the exact amount. We will update that. And in the float, it's about $787 million. We are not going to reverse the stock. And as we told people in the past, we have no plans to, no desire to. We do not want to reverse the stock. We are not talking about it. And we have no plans to reverse the stock at all. However, with only 110 million shares left under the authorized, we are going to have some discussions and evaluations at some point in the future, and there probably will be an increase in the authorized at some point so we can continue to reduce the debt. We have not determined when or how much. We haven't determined when we'll issue more shares or what we'll authorize or increase. We will share that information with the public when we make a decision, but it's not something that we've already decided. It's not something that has been filed or that will take effect in the near term right now. And we will continue to kind of keep evaluating that. As far as I know, a big issue a lot of people had, and I get the frustration, and I understand there's some negative emails of people that, everyone's entitled to their opinion, and we understand and share your frustration. They're asking, you talked with a lot of different potential targets that you were going to acquire or merge with, and you thought a lot of them were going to close, and you've spoken very positively about what you're working on, and you're pretty certain you're going to close something. What happened? Why didn't it close? There's no one more upset than myself that we weren't able to close some of these deals, but the problem is that it has to make business sense. And one deal in particular, we were about 95% done with the close. We really thought we were going to close. And what happened, there's still a possibility we may close in the future with them. But in that situation, what happened is there was a big potential contract that this company was trying to close. And we all thought that it was really important to close this deal for us to then share our resources and join forces and then leverage everything to get us to the next level. And when, unfortunately, they couldn't close that deal with a very large client, we both felt that it was better to wait until the company was able to close a significant deal to make it make more business sense for us to share those resources. So we are continuing talks with them, and they're still trying to close a significant deal with a similar company. We are still talking to negotiate with multiple parties, but it's not as easy as people think of just finding that good fit, agreeing on numbers, agreeing on the philosophy, agreeing on making sure that it makes business sense and it's really going to help the overall company. So as much as we wanted to close on deals, you know, we have not given up on some of these deals and we are still talking with people, but it has to make business sense. And I know as frustrating as that may seem and be to people, we will continue to try to grow the business. We'll continue to look for these opportunities. And obviously, we take into consideration what it does to the balance sheet, what it does to the debt, what it will do to the stock, what it will do to liquidity. You know, so we're not your average OTC company, and we really do a lot of due diligence and share a lot. And, you know, hopefully that some of these future acquisition targets will be able to close. But at the current time, we don't have anything that we think is going to close in the very near future, but we are still talking with people. And then, let's see, other questions, the sharing part. So other people were complaining about or about the lack of news that we share. We did explain in the past that, you know, PR is just one method of information that we're not leveraging or utilizing as much because of the expense and the reach. And because social media is so popular nowadays and easier, quicker, and free, so that we did start ACG Social on some social media. We have been posting more updates. We share more projects and videos when we do new websites or some new clients or some new information. So we are trying to still share a lot of the information and updates on there, and we'll continue to do more on social media. So I recommend following us on those on social media under ACG Social. You could also email me anytime. I can give you the links or the link to our website. We're also going to be updating our website more too to share more of what's going on our website as well. Other people, let's see, other questions. Four Oceans. We did sign a deal with Four Oceans, and everyone's asking about an update with that one. It basically, they've kind of changed their position a little bit too, where they've got a new technology platform that they're co-owning. And in 2016, they're changing their focus a little bit from just travel before to now tangible, consumable, nutritional products, because selling travel and or a service is a challenge that they thought doing that alone is a little bit more difficult than having an actual product. So when you have sometimes tangible products, in this case, like a nutritional product, a health-related product, it can be easier to grow the business with some actual tangible products and goods. So they have kind of added now some health products to their travel. They're going to be launching and relaunching a couple of new sites, and hope to see some more progress in the next, you know, few months and quarters that we'll be able to share with people. We still have our investment in there. We still have our percentage. The maximum amount that we can get back on our $50,000 investment is $1 million. We obviously don't know how or when or if that will happen. They obviously have to continue executing their plan, but they are still trying to evolve and grow. We are still a part of that. We are still going to try to help them where we can to grow as well. Let's see, there were a number of emails. This kind of goes to what we were saying before, but I'll kind of reiterate because I know people asked it a few different ways in a few different emails about kind of like the overall plan, the overall strategy, you know, sharing kind of like who we are and what we're doing and what is the plan with PeopleVine and what is the plan with Alliance how do you think you're going to get there? And so with that said, you know, obviously we are continuing to pursue all new clients to grow the business everywhere we can, especially on a full service marketing agency model. We can get a lot of people involved with small and big projects. So one of our goals with PeopleVine that confuses people is PeopleVine is a platform that we are building on, and we're acting as a client services arm of it. But so the agency can have clients by itself, and the PeopleVine platform can actually have agencies use the platform and pay a license fee. So what's happening, the reason for that too, is technology has a much, much larger multiplier when you're looking for investors and or a buyout. And so the PeopleVine situation, we're starting to talk to some of the Silicon Valley type of investors and the tech investors, and we've been feeling out a few different valuations, a few different people, a few different opportunities to see if it's going to make business sense or not, doing our due diligence on both sides. And there's a chance we may spin off PeopleVine into its own NewCo, where ACGX would own a percentage of the NewCo. And that way we would try to get some more like tech Silicon Valley type of money in multiple funding tranches to kind of attempt to increase the business faster, increase the value more, and then sell to a bigger technology company in a few years. where then ACG would still own a part of that. And so, you know, there are some companies that have done that in the past where they've been able to grow to be hundreds of millions of dollars. And then if we're still a percentage of that, obviously not as big of a percent, but if we're still a percent of a very large biotech, it could still be very, very exciting for all of us. And it still allows us, the rest of the agency and the rest of ACG, to then be its own separate entity, staying in ACGX. And we can grow that business as well and make it a more attractive target for a larger company. If we can continue to increase the customers, the revenue, the recurring revenue model that attracts these bigger companies, we believe that the realistic approach on the core business is to really grow that as much as we can in the next 3 to 5 years, and then find a NASDAQ or NYSE company to acquire us with some cash or probably some stock exchange agreement where, you know, for every shareholder of ACGX, you'll get a certain number of shares of a larger company. Now, we don't have any offers on the table right now, and we don't have any serious talks, but we have been, we've had discussions, and we've been trying to position ourselves so that bigger companies see value in us in a different way than maybe a current shareholder would, where they're going to look at valuation metrics based on the lifetime value of the customer, the number of customers, the diversification of the customer, the number of revenue streams, the profit margin, the ability for them to expand on what we have, and for the recurring revenue model to really be something that in their platform could really scale up. So the short-term numbers or projects may not look as great because we got to spend on growth and we got to reposition a little bit, but it's for a purpose. And it's to try to make ourselves look better for a potential target. And it's, you know, for better or worse, it's a process we feel is going to help all of us in the long run try to get more value out of this company. Another related question with that is Steve's preferred shares. And if his opinion changes, is he looking to sell any of those preferred shares? He still believes that we're significantly undervalued. And then unless the stocks are trading at multiple pennies or 5-10 cents range, he's not even considering any offers of any kind to sell any of his shares. He's in it for the long haul until this thing, you know, makes sense to actually get involved with other people, other companies, and other investors. With all that said, the most common question was really related to people buying. I know there's been a lot of different questions with that because that is the most exciting, but also the most complicated and confusing as to what exactly is our plan with people buying. And although I did just mention a little bit about it, you know, the business model and what we're executing and what progress we made and, you know, what expected growth and the competitors and potential, I will go into a little bit more detail on people buying. So for those that understand or have been around or have read the disclosures, you know, we had originally committed to spending $400,000 on PeopleVine, and that is why we had such a large expense in 2015, because we did end up spending the rest of the $400,000 as of today, the $400,000 has been spent. So the balance was in Q4 and Q1 of this year. So $400,000 has been spent. We invested in the additional development work, the design work, the new features in the platform, new products, services, internal talent, brand awareness, you know, just valuable enhancements to the platform, and also then starting to try to bring on some new clients and users. So now what that means is that we are evaluating these other next steps as to, do we want to bring in other outside money? Do we want to try to still grow organically? Is there a strategic partner in the tech space that we think we should be working with? And basically, you know, deciding, you know, if we should spend internally or externally, get money coming in. And so due to the substantial potential future value of a software platform, you know, there is that potential, the spin-off we talked about, and we are kind of talking to multiple people about multiple ideas. Now, the realistic goal for PeopleVine is to enhance and improve the technology, bring on more users, bring on resellers, bring on developers, let people leverage the platform, potentially attempt to patent some technology, but we talked to a couple of patent attorneys and there may not be as many things to patent as we would like. So it may be more based on user base than patents, and try to create significant future value for the possibility of this future partial or full buyout from an established technology company where they would have more significant resources to take it to the next level. And so there's four main areas that we can increase in the short term and long term with PeopleVine. And the first is really developing more features in the platform and integrating with additional additional platforms and services, letting people build on our platform. The second is selling the service directly to larger brands that have their own internal marketing teams and let us leverage our platform. The third is leveraging and utilizing resellers or partnership programs. And the fourth is building that developer community to where when developers build on a platform and they can create it faster and have more advanced and more integrated products and services, they don't leave your platform. And this is kind of like the Microsoft model where if people build things on your platform, they are your customer forever. And the value for that is so much more valuable than just a regular relationship. So we want people to build on our platform so that they use it forever and then the value is significantly higher. And so one of the things we're doing that we're very, very excited about that's huge news, in my opinion, is the biggest news that we've had in a long, long time. And that is, for those familiar with 1871 here in Chicago, it is the world's most prestigious startup incubator. It's in Merchandise Mart. It has over 1,000 members. It is worldwide known for the tech startups and the assistance they have for startups and tech communities and the introduction to investors. And so we are officially going to be running the entire member operation software for 1871. So for the world's most prestigious startup incubator that focuses on tech, to see our tech platform and work in agreement with us, they could pick any software in the world. They picked our software for their own members, for their own program. So we're incredibly excited because what this does now is we've expanded our office space in 1871. We've moved some of our team over there. We're working with them on a daily basis to not only expand their usage of our platform, but then the introduction to all of these other members. And we also worked out agreements where we can then do webinars and even use our auditorium to do a presentation for 500 or 1,000 tech startups or startup companies in general to tell them and explain the value of building on our software. So once again, this allows us, if we can get to the startups early to where they build their companies on our platform, they are a user for life and they're an advocate of the platform and the value and the multiplier of that valuation can be huge. And so with that said, when a startup company like saw us at TechNori where we presented, they not only saw the platform that we were using, but another tech company presenting with us came to us and said, we want to build on your platform because we see how you can help us grow even faster. And their investor came to talk to us about how he may want to invest in us as well because he sees the platform can help. And then also like Prime Real Estate Group is now using our platform with 200 agents using our platform as a portal, and making a competitive communication situation. We also signed up MMGY is one of the largest travel agencies in the world, $100 million plus agency. They are using PeopleVine to power their client select registry website and operations. So the more we get into the foundational side of these companies and they build off of us, the more long-term value we're hoping for PeopleVine and for our overall agency. And so during the 2015, we added over 2,000 features and fixes in 2015. So we feel we've created the most robust platform for marketing teams to engage with their customers. And that there's a huge positive outlook for 2016 with many opportunities to work with these larger brands and communities and organizations and these other networks of startups. And so with 2016 coming out, we've rolled out some of the new user interfaces. We've improved on the experience. We've improved on some of the components and features. And now towards the end of 2015, beginning of 2016, we've been more aggressively reaching out to potential agency partners, and we're starting to close some deals with agencies and other types of companies that we feel we can build with. So with that said, we're PeopleVine is positioning itself as a single platform for marketing teams to engage with their customers, whether it's turnkey out of the box or it's integrated with some other existing applications. But we see some truly great opportunities for this platform to be a platform as a service. So hopefully that explains a little bit better with PeopleVine and where we're at and what we're trying to do and why we're building it the way we're building it and why we're trying to execute a business model that we think is going to be more beneficial in the future. Now with other areas of possible growth, people have asked us, what other areas are you still looking at? There are still other major opportunities that, you know, if we can close different types of deals that can help us have some significant growth. And vendor managed inventory is still one of them. It's still a huge growing trend. We do have nine third party strategic warehouses around the country to help us build on those relationships. And so we are still working on those types of deals. The sales cycle of those are a little bit longer. Usually bigger companies and bigger deals, they take longer to close, but then once you are working with them, they don't change that quickly. Obviously, the customer engagement and relationship management software side is something we're really, really trying to focus a lot on. And one of the reasons is because, you know, companies like IBM and Oracle and other big tech companies are really seeing the value of this. I mean, not too long ago, IBM bought SilverCloud for, you know, hundreds of millions, $270 million actually, and Intuit bought a company for $423 million. And Oracle bought a company for $871 million. And, you know, Marketo is already a $1 billion company, and HubSpot's already a $1 billion company. If you look at these companies and what they do, if you look at HubSpot, yes, they have more agencies, and yes, they have more customers. But if you look at what they do, you'll see that PeopleVine can do everything HubSpot does. And we believe we can do it better and do more of it. We're smaller and more flexible, and we have the ability to do more and integrate more. Where they're this big giant that can't turn as fast, and they're going to keep going in the same direction, building what they build on. But we talk to a lot of people. They don't have the most positive experience with HubSpot. And they look at ours and they like the flexibility. They like the integration. They like the ability to do other things. And so it's just a matter of time before we hope we can get more agency partners and more people on board, and we can compete with more people. Because like on a head-to-head competition, if we had two companies both do HubSpot and both use us to create their landing page and campaign and automation, we feel that we would win on a one-on-one test. It's just they, of course, have a larger team and larger budget, and we need to catch up. But what we hope that means is that companies like HubSpot or IBM or Oracle or Intuit will hopefully see what we're doing on a smaller scale and hopefully start paying more attention to us. And, you know, usually that means what they do is they start seeing if it's worth it for them to buy us. And our goal is to make us more attractive for them. And whether or not it's now or in a few years or never, we still want to be more attractive to a potential buyout and or, you know, be big enough to not have to be bought out. That kind of ties with the digital agency services as well, where now that everyone is on their phones, their tablets, their handheld devices, that it's really important that your social media and your digital and the engagement with your live experiences and interactions people have are tied to that real agency service feel. So by having the agency built on the platform, that really gives us a one-up. And that kind of ties in the next area of just that full-service product development marketing agency. We really can be that one-stop shop to help some of these companies and get in the alliance ecosystem to, you know, create your brand, build your brand, distribute it, market it, and then do some custom development. So, you know, I know there's a few more things I want to wrap up here, but I do want to keep this kind of tight. I don't want to make it overwhelming or too confusing. I do encourage everyone, if you look at our new format, you know, a lot of people say that our format of disclosures could be different than other companies, but we are a marketing agency. So we think it was really important to not only share all the last 18-year history of the corporation and the financials and the stock, but also we included some new capabilities decks so that people can see really the detailed services we do. And there's a lot of pictures of the products and customers that we work with. And so you can get some better ideas of, you know, for over the last 18 years, we work with a lot of world-class brands. We've connected their products and services to their customers through a seamless online and offline experience. And now as a full, very robust, full-service marketing agency, you know, we can help them create and design and brand strategy and printing and packaging and supply chain management and experiential marketing and social media and digital marketing and search marketing and leverage that technology and our development team to really build out solutions that we can reuse in other clients and really create value for our clients. So I think what we've really accomplished in 2015 is that we have created a more diversified customer base that will rely on a more diversified variety of services that will have our overall goal is to reduce our need for larger future inventories, larger future receivables, larger, you know, equipment, and push more towards the digital world where you sometimes you get deposits up front. You don't have to carry big inventories. You don't have equipment. You don't have big receivables. And, it becomes more attractive to future acquirers if you have that repeat recurring revenue with less debt on your balance sheet, less risk on your inventory and receivables. And so we're really evolving the whole business. And so the overall sales might not grow as quickly in the short term because some of those big clients require big inventories and big receivables. And sometimes it's better to have 10 smaller clients that don't have that from a financial standpoint than one big one that does have that risk and does come with a lot of a lower margin and a lot of costs and risk tied to it. But we still have been able to keep our revenues above $11 million. Our gross profit was $2.5 million this year. Our net income before expenses related to people were $300,000. We still have over $5 million in total assets. And we still believe we've built a very solid foundation with a tremendous amount of future opportunities in front of us. And we like the direction that we're heading right now. We feel it's a more modern approach. It's a more scalable, expandable business model. It allows us to ride a hot wave in the tech sector and in the digital marketing world. It allows us to be more flexible to adapt to the opportunities and situations and to work with other people and to evolve with what the market wants. And so, you know, with that said, to kind of wrap up a little bit, you know, we really value our relationships with our customers, our vendors, and our shareholders. And there's definitely a few special shareholders too that we've had a lot more communication with that we really appreciate their efforts and the introductions to possible leads. We do encourage shareholders to communicate their opinions, you know, with each other and to share what we do with others so that we can do one of two things. We can be introduced to potential clients, or we can be introduced to potential shareholders. And so we want people to think about the relevant relationships they may have on a daily basis of who needs a new website, who wants to do a social media campaign, who might redo their packaging. There's a lot of ways that we can get quality leads to help us. And we will pay a commission to anyone that gets us leads that we can close on these deals. And, you know, we really feel that what we're doing here is going to make it easier for people to get involved as well, because when everyone knows someone who wants to improve their Google or Facebook or SEO or their website. And, you know, there are definitely a few shareholders that, you know, we'd like to definitely have a special thanks to some of the loyal long-term shareholders, and especially some of these guys have really tried to bring us some quality leads and potential business. We think that the long-term growth is going to be based on not only our team, but other people bringing some quality leads and business to us and letting give us the opportunity to bid on projects. And, you know, don't forget that the recording will be online, the disclosure will be online. We obviously want everyone to make their own opinions, do their own due diligence, positive or negative, say what you want. We want to be open and fair and listen to everyone. We believe it's a great opportunity, but all investments do come with risks and rewards, and you know, everyone should do their own due diligence. And with that, you know, we appreciate your time and your overall support. I hope this has been informative. I hope I answered a lot of your questions. You can email me directly at paul@acgemail.com if I didn't, so I can address them in future disclosures. You can also use info@acgemail.com if you'd like. And don't forget the new style of reporting we did. It shows the capabilities deck. So with that said, I appreciate everyone's time. I hope that you continue to support us and share what we've done as a company and introduce us to more leads. And thank you very much and have a great day.